Hello and welcome to the Sabbatarianism Podcast. My name is Justin. I have with me Richard Davis and Neil Saul. Hello, Richard and Neil.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right. So we are back in the book of Genesis. We left off on chapter 3, and we are not covering every single controversy that there is in Genesis, because there are many, but we're just kind of going along and talking as we go, just like we normally do. We want to encourage everyone out there to please read their Bible. Read your Bible first. If you have not done so, please start there and then come back to this podcast. And if you are new to the podcast, please start in the beginning and work your way forward. Lots of big concepts covered in the beginning of the series, so please start there. All right, so we're going to pick up with the book of Genesis in chapter 4. Neil, did you have something you wanted to
offer? I had mentioned last time that there's a lot of, in these, especially the first, 10 chapters or so, a lot of controversies, a lot of doctrine is often created out of thin air, you might say. Churches split, or people go after a following or whatever, and that, you know, the Holy Spirit should direct our lives to the point where we can have disagreements.
Exactly.
And still have fellowship with each other. And I say that because there were some things that you had discussed with Mr. Paul Silty, who I have a lot of respect for, admire his work, but I disagree on an Eden before Adam.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all right.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Paul would be okay with your disagreeing.
And you know what? He may be right.
He may be. I don't know.
Or, you know, maybe I should say it. I may be wrong. Right. Or I may not be.
Both of you could be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if it's just either or, then you can't both be wrong, but who knows? I like your point, Neil. We must learn how to disagree once again. It seems that in yesteryear, way long ago, people could disagree without hating each other and without having to disfellowship or not be around a person just because of a simple disagreement. And I don't know how we got to that point in our society and in this community, but I think it needs to change. So I like your point. So let's carry forward with that in mind. Richard, do you feel up to reading before New Eyeballs?
Oh, I feel like it, but whether I can do it, we'll just try it and see what happens.
Okay.
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. That Hebrew word tillers also can be rendered a worshiper of the ground, of the earth. Yes.
Okay.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, then sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, and you should rule over it."
Let's take a break a minute.
Yeah.
That tells me there that he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? It wasn't the fact that he offered an offering of
the
produce of the ground. It was that he worshipped that ground.
Well, we're not told exactly, right? It could have been that he didn't bring the best of what he had to offer.
Well, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But in other words, it wasn't the offering that caused this problem. It was the fact that his worship was not
it's
right.
It's something in his heart.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
That very well may be true. I wasn't there.
Yep.
There's another way to look at that. If you see the sacrifices later after Mount Sinai, the course, you did have grain offerings.
Yeah.
And drink offerings.
Yeah. And you had blood offering, and you also had the fat. So, but there's something there that God is just saying, if you had done well, I would have accepted it. And if not, then sin lies at the door. And that's in a way, he's saying, I'm God, you're not. You don't decide what to do.
Right.
You know, you bring what you're supposed to.
Do what you're told, just that's like everyone right. else. Obey my yeah. voice.
And when it says, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it, that applies to every one of us.
Yeah.
Yes. Sin's crouching at our doors, too. And yeah. We have to learn to overcome it.
That's true. I'm sure there's people who know a lot more about that than we do, and can probably talk about it for hours, but you know, it's only a few sentences, and it says what it says, and I don't want to bear false witness, so I'm just giving my opinion, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. I wasn't there. Okay, are we on verse 8?
Yes.
Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, I know there are all kind of beliefs that spring from what I just read there from the last few verses, but it only says what it says, and that's good enough for
me. It's interesting things to think about, yeah. You know? Who is he so scared of? I don't know. He set a mark on him. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
From other parts of the Bible, you know? That's very interesting things to think about and meditate about, but you're right. It says what it says, and that's all that it says. We're not supposed to add to or subtract from.
That's right. Or to claim that we know better than others. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt on the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So the he there
is Cain.
Yeah. Cain is the first one who builds that city. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahuliel, and Mahuliel begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech seventyfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called him Seth. For God appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. That's a quote. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord.
So there... interesting point here in verse 19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. That was included here for us to read and to take notice of. It, since it's specified here, one would have to assume that before that, no one had taken two wives.
More than likely.
Well, something, too, that I find interesting. From verse 16 to 17, where it lists all these people that were born to who,
mm-hmm.
you got like five generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how old they were. It doesn't tell you how old they were when they begat so-and-so, but
right.
like it does in other places. But, you know, this is a pretty long period of time.
Yeah.
In just three verses.
Yeah. It's just a summation, very brief summation
yep.
of a long period of time where men were living for hundreds of years and repopulating and having children. And where it says so-and-so was so many hundred years old and bore this guy, didn't mean he didn't have children before then
yeah.
or after then.
That's how old he was when he had that child.
That, yeah.
I think the last line or the last sentence here in the last verse is interesting. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why that's in there, but it's in there for us to take note of as well. And does that mean that people weren't before that? It doesn't say that, so I don't know. But
well, I think when Cain was kicked out here, you know, banished to be a vagabond.
Right.
That, and Abel was gone. So who else was Adam teaching about the Lord?
Yeah.
But here comes Seth, and now he can teach him about
it. So him. Adam learned from his daddy and started doing what was right.
So
basically.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then Seth learned it, and now he's got another son, Enosh, and men began to call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see some of that as we go forward in the genealogies that are presented.
All right, we ready for five?
Chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam in the day that God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his likeness for his image and named him Seth. And he begot Seth. The days of Adam were after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan. After he begot Cainan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Cainan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands." because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay. Not a lot there.
Well, actually, there is.
Yeah, actually,
there is. Well, I was going to say, a lot of the timeline that you were just talking about is...
Number one, take note that Noah was 500 years old.
Right.
Okay, we'll explain that later. But okay. When you take all these, the meaning of all these names in the Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
let me read what it says. Okay. Starting from Adam, Seth, and going down to Noah. Man is appointed to be mortal in his dwelling, earth. The praise of God, Jesus, came down to make disciples. He was speared or pierced by a man who is unknown. The
Roman soldier.
Roman soldiers. Don't know who he was. To give rest to all of mankind.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
It's a prophecy of Christ, just in the names.
Just in the names. Well, they certainly lived a lot longer. That's a notable thing. And the longest one, I believe, is Methuselah.
I think so.
969 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You know, when God drove Adam out of the garden, he could have, if he hadn't taken of the tree of life and lived forever, but in a sinful condition. 900 years in a sinful condition had to be torturous. Which is why I think God, in the next chapter, I believe, or one of the next two chapters, will say 120 years is all man needs.
Okay.
We'll get to
I
that.
Don't need 120.
Well, we sure don't need 900.
Yeah.
And then for sure. The only other question I guess I got is, who was it that only lived 300?
Enoch.
And God took him, it says?
Yes.
You know, that's another controversy.
People have made a lot of that one right. I have no,
I don't have any doubt that God caused his death.
Yeah, God took him before he would normally live out of natural life.
Yeah, I don't believe that he lived forever and was taken off into heaven and blah, 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 like some people.
Well, his spirit goes to heaven, like we're told.
Right.
But
the first one raised from the dead was the Messiah.
That's right.
Yeah.
First of the first of the first.
Yeah. Okay.
Chapter 6.
A very controversial chapter, but we won't dwell on those things.
Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
That's pretty powerful scripture there. I mean, God was sorry that he had made them. That's
because they had become so evil.
Yeah.
I think he was disappointed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like a father's. Can you imagine as a father being sorry that you had children?
I mean, yeah.
That's rough.
And it says that his days shall be 120 years. Okay. People believe that. At least some people believe that in 120 years, he would destroy mankind with a flood. But we'll find out later that when I mentioned before that Adam was 500, he entered the ark when he was 600. That's only 100 years. So why the difference? And, you know, agnostics will say, well, obviously the Bible's wrong. But it's two different things. What he's saying is his lifespan is going to be shortened.
No longer 900. We're going to keep this thing around 100.
And as soon as you get after the flood,
they start going down.
They start going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, things obviously were very different before the flood.
Yeah.
Barriers. God restrained the spirit world, I believe, and they also restrained man and altered everything. You have a different world
major
now, and
changes.
You cannot project what we know and can prove or see or think back into that time. It's just not the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, verse 8 is where we want to try to get to. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and praise him if he finds grace in me or you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks, and behold, I myself am bringing the floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two or of every kind shall come into you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and that shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. So we got to realize those words in the English, every type or every kind, doesn't mean that every specific animal species that was on the earth was saved. You have at least two of every of the dog kind or every one of the cat kind or whatever like that. Doesn't mean that everything. And this is
two
one,
Chihuahuas,
yeah,
two Dobermans, two Rottweilers.
Those
two,
didn't even exist.
Right.
Okay, it was just,
right.
They're animals.
Just the canine kind.
Yeah. And two, in the earth, we see that there were many animals that made it through that time that have gone extinct. They've always been going extinct for one reason or the other over history. So it's just that you don't see things that we have now. It doesn't mean everything we have now came through the ark in that exactly that form or fashion. And there were others, perhaps, that were there before that did not come through because only what was going to be adaptable to a much different world of that genus or species or whatever you want to call it made it through.
Well, and even if something like a dinosaur was brought on the ark, number one, a small one would have been brought on. And if they didn't have the conditions before the flood or as they did before the flood, they would have died out.
Yeah, reptiles are going to struggle to make it.
Yeah.
You know,
to be that large.
Right.
You know, they just would go extinct because they didn't have the same conditions. So.
Well, it's obvious that there was much more landmass before that time. There was a different environment on the Earth.
Yeah.
It was more like tropical from top to bottom, and much smaller landmass here. And wasn't just giants and humans on the Earth at that time. There were giants and much larger animals that we don't have anymore.
And it says those giants were before and after.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
It does say that.
So yeah. those genes had to be there somewhere.
Well, made it somehow.
We read that in you know, the Old Testament about giants being there.
Yeah. Well, something I took notice of is when God says, the end of these people has come, build yourself an ark, I'm going to kill them all. You notice how Noah didn't protest the way that Moses did? Moses said, no, you can't do that. And Noah, at least we're told, he didn't say nothing. He just said, okay, I'll build the ark.
Well, a lot happened between Noah and the time of Moses as far as God making a covenant and promises to the sons of Abraham, etc.
Yeah.
And
well,
so we have to take that into account.
It's interesting, the word ark. Okay, we think of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
All right. How does that differ from this boat? Interesting. If you look, if you study it out a little bit, it says that in verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. That word pitch.
Tree stab.
It's a sealant of whatever kind, but it means to cover. It's the same word that
seal it with a covering.
With a covering. It's the same as the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Covenant. It was a cover.
Okay.
It was a lid.
It was a big box.
It was a big box. A
big floating box.
With a lid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Richard, verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you. Is this the first covenant? This is the first covenant where God makes with the man, right?
That we're told about? With Noah, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
He may have had one with Adam, and it's just not recorded in the Bible, but we're not told.
It may not be called a covenant then, but there would have been something going on.
Yeah, there had been a relationship established.
Yeah.
Because that's what a covenant is. And there's a we read about that, how things were changed, and the change in the next couple of chapters here about the covenant and the rainbow.
Yep.
So we'll pick that up as we go along.
Okay. You good to keep going?
Yeah, I'll try. If I can keep up with these words. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of every animals that are unclean. We notice that animals were clean and unclean already at this point, not something that happened in the days of Moses.
Well, how can God call Noah righteous if his ways, his laws are not known?
That's right. Yes. It's and there are those who say, well, that clean or unclean here was about animals that you could sacrifice. No. No, if you look at in the law of Moses, you know, what was given later, only animals that your personal possession could be sacrificed, because that's the only way it was a sacrifice for you.
Sure.
Otherwise, you're giving away somebody else's animals.
Yeah. Okay, in verse 2, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, a male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the floods were on the earth.
There's your 100 years.
Yeah.
So Noah.
Not 120.
No. 600 years old. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. That means water began, the earth's crust began to shift.
Water came up.
Yes, water erupted from underneath the ground.
Right.
And the windows of heaven were open, that vast.
That can of
moisture.
It was
coming from both sides.
Yeah, yeah. The moisture that was up above the atmosphere began to come down. And it was, there were, the whole earth was just broken apart and remade and reshifted during this time.
It says before this, there wasn't even rain, right? There was just a
dew.
A heavy dew that watered everything.
Right. And the fountains, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the hills, high hills under the whole heaven, were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. Then all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils were the breath of the spirit of life. All that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
150 days.
You know, it had to have been some catastrophic event. And when it talks about the fountains of the deep breaking open, water coming up, the windows of heaven, the moisture in the canopy come down. Because we've had 40 days and 40 nights of rain here in East Texas,
yeah.
And it didn't flood us out like it did them.
Well, it sure felt like it was coming, though. But can you imagine the life on that ark? I mean, it would have been terrible. It would have stunk so bad. Life in there would have just been horrible.
I think every day they cleaned it up and threw it overboard.
Well,
even then, you're living in a zoo, man, in an enclosed zoo.
I don't know what the conditions were like. I do know that there was supernatural protection for everything that was in there to sustain it and to keep it, protection from God, or else the tumult of water was cataclysmic. It would have destroyed, smashed that thing all to pieces.
Well, and I've pondered, wondered, did God just make everything hibernate while they were
in there? That's a possibility.
It could be. We don't know.
And notice verse 16, it says, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord has closed that door.
Yeah.
Nothing can open it or harm it.
And you know, I think about this. This is, he says, build, put it on the side. That had to be in the water when it started floating, where it opened up. So God almost had to seal it. Because I don't. Yeah. They didn't have rubber. You know, I don't know how it could.
They used pitch, Neil.
Well, that's true, but now.
It was supernatural.
Super, yeah. There's a supernatural event going on there.
God had to help Noah to even make this thing, I would think. I mean, it's massive, but yeah. Who knows how it all went.
Yeah, it's amusing to me. You see so many documentaries and so many things written about these. How could this have been or how could that have been? As though God wasn't there.
Right. Or is incapable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. God protected everything on that ark and made sure it got through that flood. And it wasn't some flood where it rains and the water comes up and covers these mountains and goes back down. It was a tearing and a rendering of the earth's surface that we see around us in Grand Canyon, in the strata of the earth, and things that we claim are there because of ice ages and different. The earth was ripped from one end to the other and separated, and it looks nothing today like it did before then.
Well, and it at least sounds like changes were made even within the spirit world at this time
as
well.
There were restraints.
Right.
Because, you know,
things changed there too.
Talks about Christ preaching in the days of Noah to the spirits that were put in restraint at that time. So there could have been different boundaries between the human world and the spirit world even before then.
Well, even the landscape of the spirit world could have changed. I don't know, but could
who
have.
Knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? We do know it was different, and it's foolish for people to argue about it.
Yep.
None of us were
there. And especially to dislike each other over those arguments.
Well, you know, there's some great videos that you can search out and find information on this, but it's just, you know, a man or a group of men's
opinion, thoughts,
no different than it is for us right here, right now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's real interesting stuff, and some of the facts they bring out are you can provide knowledge. Just be careful of building a doctrine upon it.
Right. Genesis is definitely the book that is the most fun to kind of sit back and ponder and just think about maybe what ifs and stuff like that. But
Genesis and Revelation,
we know what we're told, and that's what we know, and that's all that matters. Are we ready for chapter 8?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the time of the 150 days, the waters decreased.
At the end
of the 150 days. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he made. And I would just pause right there to say, some of these mountains were brand new at that time. They probably had not been there before the flood.
Just because it has a name does not mean it was there before this.
Yeah, or that whole mountain range.
That name was used afterwards.
And it may not actually be the mountain that they call Ararat today.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Just don't know.
So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. She returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. He didn't have a drone.
No, but I have always found these verses to be fascinating. I think there's something here. The opposites of the dove and the raven, the one going to and fro, like what is spoken of in the first part of Job, from Satan, just the difference of the two birds, but also, you know, sending one out, it comes back, send it out again, it comes back with an olive leaf, and there's something here, and I can't really put my fingers on what it is, but I hear echoes of things in it.
Okay, where are we? Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, and the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. So there he did offer every clean animal. Okay. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time
and harvest,
cold and heat, winter and summer, all day and night shall not cease." Now you're getting into the covenant with Noah, okay, that was made. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, and you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, "As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters, by the waters of the flood, or a flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh and waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's on the earth.
So it's not just with Noah, it was between God, yes, Noah, and those, everything.
All animals, everything
on the earth.
All flesh, yeah.
But it's only about not killing everything by water.
Yeah. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from those the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew that what his younger son had done to him. And I think we're talking about his younger son refers to Ham, because the curse is on Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So we begin to see after this, the lives become increasingly shorter and shorter over the next few generations.
Yeah.
To where that length of life, the physiology that existed before that flood, begins to die out for a number of reasons.
If we go back to the end of chapter 8, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Kind of does away with climate change, I think.
Yeah. Well, the climate's always been changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah, good every thing, year, every
good,
day.
Good news is God is in full control.
Yeah.
I found it interesting, verse 26, and he, Noah, said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." So, he doesn't say our God. He says the God of Shem, and I just never really took notice of that. But it doesn't exclude Noah. Obviously, he was a servant of God. God found favor in him or found righteousness in him. So, it's just interesting wording here, the God of Shem.
I think It may tell you that Shem was the only one
that worshipped him.
Of the three sons, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we don't know for sure.
Well, I think that the Bible reveals that, that Abraham, for instance, who was the first man that God began to make the everlasting or the covenant of the blessing with, was of the lineage of Shem. Mm-hmm. And there was something there that was not in the others. But since that day, men have intermingled so much. Who is to say who is a real son of this one or son of that one?
Right. We're all mutts at this point. But it's interesting, anthropologists, I believe that's the study,
mm-hmm,
they all agree that really there are three distinct races.
Yeah.
Right? And it's unimportant what those races are. But here we see three men coming off of the ark.
And interesting that it says that Japheth went to the east and was, apparently had a large population. And when you go to the eastern borders of what we call the Holy Lands or the cradle of civilization, you get to Asia, where there's a lot of people.
Yep. Always has been.
Interesting.
All right, well, I think we'll leave it off here. Anything else we want to cover before I sign off here?
No.
I'm good.
Okay. All right, we'll talk to y'all next time. Bye-bye.